Welcome to the Business of Security podcast, episode number 3. Your host is Ron Warner. Today, he will be talking with guest Tanya Jenka, Senior Cloud Advocate for Microsoft. Now, let's get to it.
What does the industry need to start talking about that we're not doing today?
Information technology is built on a horrible foundation. If we could sort of redo and start from the beginning, we would be so much better off.
If you don't invest in it, keep it running, it will blow up.
You also have to be able to go in with solutions, not just problems. We have a long way to go if we're going to win this fight.
At the end of the day, educated people are really the best countermeasure against all the threats.
Welcome to the Business of Security podcast. I'm your host, Ron Warner. With me today is Ms. Tanya Jenka. Tanya is a senior cloud advocate for Microsoft, specializing in application security. She is a software security evangelist and is involved with the OWASP community. Today, she's going to help us understand how business leaders can better work with development teams. Welcome, Tanya.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for having me on your show.
Tanya, first question. Your LinkedIn profile says you are a fire influencer. What's that?
I won an award for being in the top 20 of influencers of security and fire. And I'm like, I influence fire? That's awesome. I'm not sure where the fire came from, to be honest, but it does make it sound a lot more cool than I'm just a nerd with a big computer.
You influence others, which is fantastic, and why I'm so glad we were able to get you for the podcast today, because we all need to learn more about all the different aspects, and you are definitely a well-regarded leader with OWASP, the Open Web Application Security Project. Their community and website is one that all IT leaders need to know about. It's a tremendous resource to know about application security. You run an OWASP project known as DevSLOP. What is DevSLOP? Can you describe that to us?
We named it DevSLOP, as in sloppy DevOps. And okay. My friend Nicole Becker and I wanted to learn more about what DevSecOps was and how security worked into DevOps. And also how, because she is a red teamer, how she could hack into DevOps style systems, like how can you get past a pipeline and other things? So she built a vulnerable app called Pixie, which has vulnerable API and other issues with it. And then I added to it with her, and then we released it. And we started doing workshops, just smashing it a lot and teaching people how to talk nasty to APIs, like sending malformed requests so you can get what you want. And then I wanted to make it the ultimate DevSecOps pipeline, which would be named Patty the Pipeline. This is what happens when you have a lot of women run a giant project. We name things really cute things like Pixie and Patty. And so I started making this pipeline with Azure DevOps, because I work for Microsoft, so they give me all the free stuff I want. Mm. But then I figured out that I actually couldn't, like, give the pipeline away to other people very easily. It turns out that that's really difficult to do because of licensing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So instead, we've decided to make videos to show people how we are doing each step. And Franziska Bueller has joined the project. So she's actually on most of the videos with me. And then Imran Mohammed has joined us as well. And he's also interested in doing some vulnerable microservices. But right now, kind of the vulnerable side is a bit on pause, and instead we're kind of rushing into this show and just making my pipeline more cool. So I stream live so people can participate and ask us questions, although mostly it's them helping us. Like, where do I click? There's so many options. I don't know. And then the audience is like, dude, it's on the bottom, second from the bottom. I'm like, thank you.
So it's just a way for everybody to learn together about DevOps and DevSecOps and application security.
Exactly. And DevSecOps is essentially doing application security in a DevOps like culture and environment, right? So DevOps isn't just adding automation and then not doing documentation. That's not what it is. It's not just releasing 500 times a day and just hoping for the best. It's a cultural change, and it's following the three ways. So weaving security through that, that's DevSecOps, as opposed to security teams trying to do the traditional waterfall style security approach, which I affectionately call hurry up and wait.
Or wait until the end and try to fix it after it's already been developed, which...
So true, Ron. So true.
It always seems to be. So it's how do, and this was actually a question I have for you. How do we inject security throughout the application development lifecycle? How do we have a robust DevOps and DevSecOps? What are some tips that you would recommend to business leaders?
Okay, so you need to make it a part of your culture, meaning you actually have to make time for it in your project schedule. You can't just assume security will magically happen. You need to actually have security staff, which I know are really hard to find. Mm-hmm. I tend to try to find someone else that's really interested and make them into a security staff member, mm-hmm. with their blessing, obviously, like someone that is interested in joining security and train them up. Basically, every project, even if you do DevOps, it needs requirements. It needs to be designed, even if you're doing it in small, like agile sprints, right? And the key is formalizing security as part of those steps that you do in your, so like you have a formalized system development lifecycle, even if it is that you don't have one. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that security is a priority in each one of them. So let's say you're going to do secure, you're doing requirements. Well, you should have security requirements. Right? Like,
right.
Okay, well, it needs to upload files. Okay, well, then that means it needs to scan it with something like assembly line, let's say, or virus total. And you go through, like, you make sure you have security requirements. And then when you do the design, you threat model and you follow secure design principles, right? So I feel like training your staff in knowing security, and I know training costs a lot of money, but it's totally worth it to get people that know what they're doing. And DevOps specifically, like it's about weaving it into the three ways, right? If you're giving people time to fail fast, we'll give them a safe place to use security tools and try those out, right? Allow them to do experimentation in regards to security. If we're having continuous learning, we'll make sure you share all security lessons freely, right? And just the same as DevOps. So the like one of the main three ways about DevOps is like ensuring that you're actually making the entire process faster, not just your part, right? So if I improve my part and it's so fast, but I'm still waiting on all these other things, and the entire system's still just as slow as it was, I failed, right? And so you need to weave security through it and automate things when you can and be ready for things when you can't. And that is included in security, right? So if they're doing 1 week sprints, security has to adjust. I guess that's a lot of information, and I could talk one more hour, Ron. I'm sorry.
No, it's all great information, and information business leaders need to understand the importance of weaving security in to the cycle, mm-hmm. making it part of the culture. It actually improves efficiency. That's what I've seen as well, is that when you're doing things right, you're doing things quicker, faster, more efficient, not wasting as much time, resources, and ultimately money. And I also liked what you had to say about finding that champion within maybe the DevOps team or your application developers already and mm-hmm. building them up. So what are some resources we can point our application development friends so they can learn more about DevSecOps and what you're doing with OWASP?
I have a blog post called Getting Started with AppSec. Ooh. And it's all free resources, and I'm actually about to like re-release it in a few days from now on the 24th.
Okay.
Because I built more stuff. And so I have a show for DevSlop where you can watch me actually do the technical in-depth nerdy stuff. And then we also talk about different new security concepts. So sometimes I interview a guest, but mostly I just act like a nerd and try to like actually like physically do the things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the DevSlop show, which is live on Twitch, but it is recorded onto YouTube, so you can just watch them whenever you want. And then I have a blog called She Acts Purple. It's on Medium. And I will definitely give you a link to that, and especially the link to where to get started with application security. So there's a bunch of things that I used specifically to learn about AppSec. Joining your local OWASP chapter, I'd have to say, should be really high on your list. If you don't have a chapter, you probably do, just so you know, especially if you're in America, you probably do. We have, it's argued between 220 and 250 chapters, depending upon who you ask. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. And we're just a bunch of people that are passionate about making sure software is secure and helping others learn how to do it. We have so many different free tools and different. So in my article, I just point out places to start, like the cheat sheets. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do, authentication of a user, we have a cheat sheet on it. And some of the cheat sheets have code for all the different languages. And it's basically like, if you're going to do a file upload, we have an entire sheet on that, because I don't know if you know, that is risky business. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So definitely join OWASP. Follow me, I guess. I know that's really self-serving. And also,
no, it's
if
good.
You can, try to find a professional mentor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw online, Ron, but I started a thread on every social media I could find about who is willing to mentor people and who is looking for a mentor. Let's just start matching people up. Mm-hmm. It's got pretty crazy over the past 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I know that that's not a very formal way, but tons of people keep pairing off, so I guess it's good enough.
Right. No, you're meeting the objective of helping mentors and mentees because, well, even as a mentor, we still learn. That's why I like to teach, I love to learn.
My mentees teach me so much.
Exactly.
You would not believe.
Exactly. We learn and build each other, and we all become better as a result. So that's why I love what I'm hearing as far as you getting out as part of your OWASP community. And even if you're not really into application development, go and check them out because they're really cool people, and they don't expect you to be an expert. If you're just there saying, hey, I'm here to learn, teach me, they're really cool about it. That's what I found. So, yes.
Yeah, there, I cannot understate how wonderful and supportive the OWASP community has been for me in my career. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced just this overwhelming support of strangers from around the world that just mm-hmm. constantly want to help me, constantly want to teach me. Like, sometimes I'm like, is this real?
Well, we all have these challenges wonderful. Of securing our application, securing our infrastructure. So there's really no competition about it. We have so much work to do.
Yeah, we
need to be helping out each other.
Now, a word from our sponsor, TrustMap, the business management system for security leaders. TrustMap has been described as a solution in a couple of different ways. For example, it has been described as a GRC platform, and it's also been described as a business management platform for security teams. You see, TrustMap is designed for security teams by security teams. The genesis of TrustMap began when a CIO asked the question, show me the state of our security program. Where are we today and where are we going over the next 2 to 3 years? And how much is it going to take to get there? One example of TrustMap solving real-world challenges begins with a customer in the insurance services industry that I'll refer to as David. David, like many other security program managers, struggled to coordinate all of the activities across various teams to determine the security program performance and also set priorities to improve security and manage risk over the next calendar year. Now, we'll pause there. We'll come back a little later in the podcast to learn the outcome of David's challenge using TrustMap. For now, listeners of the podcast should know that you can schedule a free trial of TrustMap. Go to trustmap.com/business. Now, let's pick up where we left off.
I want to kind of change the topic a little bit. Next month, you're giving a talk on why can't we build secure software? Can you give us a quick preview of that talk? And what do business leaders need to know to enable their development teams?
I basically present, the problem, which is what everyone does. Right. Mm-hmm. Everyone talks about a problem in their talk. But I don't believe that you're allowed giving talks that don't present a solution. Mm-hmm. So basically, I have a plan, which I'll tell you. And then the rest of the entire talk is me dissecting each step and then giving something like 25 or 27 different ideas of like specific actions you can do to go implement the plan. So the plan is two steps. So first step is we support the development team, the security team, and the ops team with processes that actually work, training on what they actually need to know, and resources so that they confidently get their jobs done. And then we initiate and maintain culture change. And because you need to initiate a culture change if you want everyone to get along, work together, follow the processes, have the processes work. Because if everyone is not following the process, it doesn't work, right? Like right. Whenever people try to merge on the highway, if I'm in Quebec, we just do up like a zipper. Mm-hmm. We can be going 120 and we'll still just all do up like a fancy zipper. But then I go across into Ontario, which is where I was born and where I'm from. And it's like every single person waits till the very last minute and then just tries to force their way in. Then they have to stop. Everyone's stuck. I'm like, this is so easy. I don't know why 1 kilometer from here, everyone knows how to do this.
Right.
And, so if people aren't following the process, it doesn't work.
Right. So it's that people process working with the technology, but it sounds like it takes that leadership to actually push that culture to encourage the collaboration between all the different areas. So that would
we need an AppSec team. Mm-hmm. If you have a startup with three people, I understand you're not going to have an AppSec team. But if you're an enterprise, you absolutely need one. That's the very first item on my list. Mm-hmm. And an AppSec team is the part of your security team that understands code, that understands development and understands how to make sure software is secure. And they enable the developers to get their security done, right? Whether it's be building, you know, a custom library because that's what you need, or if it's doing security testing, setting up scanners, teaching lessons, they support the developers to make sure that they actually get the stuff done. As opposed to, you know, most normal security teams, they don't have a person that specializes in application security. We are awesome at network security. We are awesome at perimeter and enterprise security, like locking down those admin rights, making sure you can't install anything fun. We have firewalls everywhere, but most security teams just don't have a person that understands software. And then the security team can't really help if they don't even understand what the software developers are doing.
If we don't understand their perspective and understand how they develop and what their challenges are, because they're usually under stress as well. They have a project they need to get done. They don't always have time to look for quality or security, but they need that, as you said, culture push.
So I was a software developer a lot longer than I worked in security. I did software development 17 years. Mm. And I would hide. I would run and hide from the security team because it felt like all they did was stop me from getting my work done. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, you can't do this. I'm like, why? They're like, because you can't. It's not secure. I'm like, but why? And they're like, because you can't. And it's like, no. And then I'm like, well, okay, great. What can I do?
You're a developer. You should know.
So much of you should know.
All right.
You know, it's funny because it doesn't seem like you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, now with OWASP, the top 10 list, we can begin to show, you know, the potential vulnerabilities for cross-site scripting, cross-site request forgery, input injection, etc. We can potentially show the vulnerability with the code.
Definitely. You know, it's funny because people in OWASP, we sort of hate the top 10.
Okay.
Because every single other person in the entire world, that's the only thing we're known for is the OWASP top 10. And it's frustrating because it was made as a list of like, you know, if you don't know where to start, just start here. But a lot of places are like, we're OWASP compliant. I'm like, no, that doesn't exist. And they're like, you know, our product will protect you from the OWASP top 10. I'm like, some of these are manual things and you're a liar. You don't understand. And it's so frustrating that it is used as this measurement stick. And it's like, no, that's 10 out of like thousands of problems you could have.
Right.
Like we're just trying to show what the 10 most prominent things are. And if you are just going to start, like someone wrote me online and they said, what are the top vulnerabilities that, and so, 'cause then I want to learn how to do defenses for them. And I said, no, 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 no. Instead, how about I tell you the top defenses, and they'll protect you against a whole ton of things, more than just those, right? Like, if you could just validate your inputs correctly with a waitlist and not a blacklist, and I spazzed out on him a little bit with too much information, I'm sure.
No, that's a great point. It's at a corporation I worked at a long time ago. We said, throw out the trash early. Yeah. Do your input validation, as you mentioned, with a whitelist. And if there are certain characters that should never be part of the input, then you just automatically remove them. And
no, no. Okay. So wait. So your language. So removing them is more like sanitization instead of validation. So validation is just accept what you want. And if it's not what you want, just reject it. Don't try to clean it, because hackers are so tricky, Ron. They're onto us with the defenses. They'll do all sorts of stuff to try to get around a filter. And instead, like, let's say it's a username, right? So just lowercase a to lowercase z, uppercase a to uppercase z, and then 0 through 9. And then that's all you're allowed. You want more, tough luck. This is where username allows, right? And then if you have to accept more than that, that's when it gets tricky. But if everyone could just, if everyone got input validation correctly, we would be in a different world.
And that's a great point, just that simple step to focus on with your application developers. Very good.
Yeah, I feel too that like application developers are blamed for a lot of things, when really most of them went to school and got zero. Like, I took computer science diploma, and there was nothing about security.
Right.
And right now, all over the internet, we teach people to code. And you know what we do, Ron? We get them to do hello world, and they put hello world on the screen. And then guess what's next? What's your name? And then they take it in, and then they put it out to the screen. And what is that?
Right.
What is that going to be? Cross-site scripting galore. Because we're not teaching them how to do security in the first place. Like, I think it's criminal that universities are charging a fortune for computer science and all these things, and they're not training people how to do them securely.
Right.
To give you an example, imagine if you're studying to become an electrician at a trade school, and they said, okay, now wrap those two wires together. Awesome. Now just push them in the wall. Let's hope the house doesn't burn down. We're not going to tell you to like wrap electrical tape around them or put a barrette on it so you can have two levels of safeguards. Instead, we're like, no, we're just trying to show you how to change a light. We'll show you security later. Right?
That
or security
is a great analogy.
Optional course.
That is a great analogy. Yes. No, I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, but that's what we're doing with school. And so a lot of people, I find, are really harsh with their judgments on developers.
Right.
To say I feel no pain, because security is quite hard, especially if you were taught how to do it insecurely. I joined something called the Digital Dash for Canada recently, and I'm going to help advise them on how they can add security into all the computer science classes that will be taught
in
school.
That is great.
Yeah, because when I, you know, they talked to me about joining, and then I did this huge rant, and they're just like, when can you start? I'm like, right now. So if we don't allow any classes that, you know, for Hello World that don't include the security of it, right? If we never include things like that again, then people will learn by default how to do all the main defenses. And then for more advanced things, there could be a security class.
So for any security educators out there or part of academia, please listen to Tanya's. I agree completely. We need to be teaching about cybersecurity and secure development as part of the curriculum. It's a fantastic, and whether someone is learning middle school, high school, or through university, we need to inject security early, just like we've always been saying, because it, again, increases efficiency and improves security as well as saves money overall, rather than, as you mentioned with your electrician scenario. It's like having that underwriter's laboratory for cybersecurity. We kind of definitely need to see that. One of the things you also mentioned earlier, and I saw within your LinkedIn, was the ties between security and quality. They both have a similar goal of no surprises. To you, what is that relationship and how can security and quality work together?
I personally believe that security is a part of quality. And I've told a lot of software developers this when I have this little hacking workshop. Like, if you've built the fastest, most beautiful app that does everything the client wanted and you get it done on time, and then I break into it in 5 minutes, your app is not quality. It's not good. It's not the best. And so if your app isn't secure, it's not a high quality app. And that's why you all need to learn some security. And then we go and we break things together. I find a really great way to learn is if you break something and then you realize the risk and you realize how serious it is, and then you go and you fix it. It's like, oh, wow. And so quality, you know, just the same as if you build an app and it doesn't have all the requirements and doesn't actually do the things that the client wanted, it's still also not quality, even if it's beautiful, right? And I think sometimes people, I feel like security is seen as a cost center, mm-hmm. and it's not seen as a thing that provides value and provides quality, but you better believe it, that your customers are expecting that it's secure. Right. And if they hear that something got breached, they're not going to go buy from you again.
Right.
Like Ashley Madison's breach, like that company's over. Mm-hmm. The company is done. Right. And not all of us can bounce back like really big companies can to manage these things. Because a lot of really large companies have had breaches, but so many things have gone well that they're mm-hmm. okay. But if you're a small company and you get breached, like it's the end of you.
Right. And there is metrics out there regarding that, you know, it can be very damaging to the company. And you're offering some great, very simple and potentially low cost tips. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It's just, again, building that culture of security. One thing I heard you talk about was having a safe playground in which to fail. So having that separate development area where you can experiment, try things, and learn how things work, and not trying things out in your production environment.
Oh, definitely.
And it sounds like you provide a lot of those tools through your OWASP projects where people can download and practice to fail.
Okay, so I did not build all the OWASP projects because then I'd be the smartest human being on earth. But we have thousands of really smart people that band together to make a lot of cool things. Like we have OWASP dependency check, and it will check all the dependencies in your project, your programming project, to see if you're using a library or another component that's vulnerable. Because 80% of code right now is usually a library mm-hmm. or some other component that you've included. Like, let's say you want to make your GUI really pretty, and so you use, you know, a JavaScript framework. If it's known to be vulnerable, the version you're using, like, you've just introduced huge holes into your app, mm-hmm. right? And so it'll just check for you. And we have OWASP Z Attack Proxy, mm-hmm. which is, like, a hacking tool.
Yes.
It's really cool. We have a really cool thing called Juice Shop. It's like WebGoat, but newer and flashier. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's a vulnerable app that you on purpose beat up mm-hmm. so you can learn about security lessons. And it's really slick. It's really quite beautiful. And I'm actually going to have Bjorn, the guy that makes it, on my little DevSlop show. And we're going to install it and kick it around so people can watch and people can ask questions. And I think it'll be super duper fun.
That will be. I really appreciate what you're doing with your DevSlop show and actually showing people how to use the tools, not just saying, go to this website, you know, figure it out for yourself, but saying, hey, let's learn together and work through this. And it's a free resource to learn. So if an organization says, well, we don't have money for a training budget, it's like, you don't really need a whole lot of money. Just provide the time and the focus and leadership around it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. I remember telling my boss, like, oh, I want to teach all the developers about, I want them to all use Zap. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, you can't make mandatory meetings because they have important work to do. And I'm like, I know. So I just did a lunch and mm-hmm. learn. So how I started doing public speaking, one of the ways is I was just like, okay, so I'm going to give this little lesson. I was so nervous. And I just made it interesting and fun. And I made it optional. And there's this one team that's like, we're not coming. You know, we have important things to do and we're not coming. I'm like, that's okay. But just know that you're always welcome. Even if it's in 6 months from now, when you do have time, just let me know if you ever want to come. And I just left the door open. And then after like, you know, 2 or 3 months, they're like, so we heard that that was a pretty cool class that you've been teaching. I'm like, oh, do you have time now? And they said yes. And they came and it was awesome. And we did incident walkthrough. So we'd had this huge security incident, and someone from the security team walked all the developers through what happened and the consequences and how they got in and what we should have done. And that's why everyone needs to follow Tanya's new rules. But everyone was really interested in seeing like the inside guts of like, we just had an incident and this is what happened. And it was, you know, bring them in with honey. Like make it interesting and fun.
Yes.
Instead of trying, I don't know. It's worked for me. I realize that I'm a professional public speaker now, and I'm really good at it. So people assume I always was. But I'm sure you can ask some of my previous teammates about me giving a 1 hour training in French in 12 minutes. And how all the old people looked at me like they're just like, oh my gosh, what's and oh, it was so bad.
No, you bring up great points. Just start out small and simple within your own community, your own organization, with an optional lunch and learn where you're just bringing people together, sharing ideas, not expecting perfection or professional, you know, just getting people together to learn. It's just, it's, again, very simple. You would think it would be rocket science, but you started, and you're actually a great role model for others to be able to follow on how to do this.
All right, let's briefly return to our story about David. As David was seeking to understand his security program's current performance and thereby set appropriate priorities and expectations, he had to engage with team members and internal customers outside of the security team. So David launched an initial process assessment in TrustMap, aligned to his control framework and regulatory requirements. What David discovered was the ability to save time from previous efforts through the aggregation of multiple users' input and data points. So David leveraged TrustMap's analytics to tell a compelling story to executive leadership about the performance of the security program, investments required, and resources needed to achieve specified goals. The executive leadership and board of directors had the assumption that mobile security was an area already solved in the eyes of the leadership based on previous investment in a mobile device management system. However, based on the results of the program assessment in TrustMap, David could clearly articulate why mobile security was still underperforming to desired goals. In this case, it was the result of mobile application security and not device security. The analytics and planning intelligence from TrustMap supported David's story and allowed him to describe the estimated investments required and the difference between mobile device security and mobile application security to a non-technical audience. As a result, the leadership team acknowledged mobile application security as a priority, allocating funds to improve this area to achieve the desired maturity goals. TrustMap is for every leader who manages information security as a function of the business. And as a reminder, for listeners of this podcast, you should know that you can schedule a free trial of TrustMap. Go to trustmap.com/business. Now let's get back to the show.
Another idea for businesses is, so Shopify is a really big company in my city, and they have a really nice building, and they've offered to host OWASP.
Oh, nice.
And guess what happens? A lot of their employees stay and then learn, right? And then they've been recruiting people from our members because, so it's brilliant, right? I started a new meetup called Cyber Ladies, and Microsoft, my employer, is like, we're hosting Cyber Ladies. I'm like, okay. Because, you know, it's awesome to support the community, but it's also, it's really great because then your employees will attend it.
Yes.
And your employees will learn. And then, you know, if you're looking for security professionals, there they are.
Right.
And in your boardroom.
And you get to know them and who they are and their strengths and weaknesses without having to go through the typical HR cycle.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe if you could talk to us a little bit more about Cyber Ladies. What is that and what is the focus and who needs to know about it?
I went to Israel maybe 6 months ago and I met some new friends, Shira, Rahut, Irina, and Karen. And they have this thing called Cyber Ladies. And I spoke at it and it's women only. A lot of women's groups are like, it's okay if men come, and they're strict, like, ladies only, those who identify as female, right? So if you're a trans woman, you're a woman, you're totally invited. But if you're a dude, you're a dude, and you're not invited. And I remember thinking, like, oh, that sounds, like, pretty harsh. But it turns out you can have a lot more intimate discussions. Mm-hmm. And so they said, you know, you should start your own Cyber Ladies. So I met with my friend Donna Hogan, who's a super awesome human. And I said, okay, so let's plan a Cyber Ladies brunch. And if no one comes, at least the two of us get to have brunch. And we now have like 85 members. Oh, and we've only been a meetup for 4 months. And tons of women come and we have interesting discussions like, you know, do you feel you're being paid as much as your male counterparts? And like, a woman came this Sunday and she's just joining, like she's in school right now. And she's like, everyone in my class is a white male and she's not white. She's like, it's just, where can I find peers? You know? And she's super excited. I'm like, do you want to be on my DevSlop show and like do something nerdy with me? She's like, oh my God, yes. And basically like it's a chance for us to form like a mini network, mm-hmm. I guess, of support on things and where you can ask a question like, you know, they told me I was overreacting. Do you feel that mm-hmm. I am? Because women are told constantly that we are overreacting. And I have to say, sometimes we're being really sensitive and we can chill out, but quite often I'm like, oh my gosh, that guy's lucky that I wasn't there because I would have wedgied him. like that is wildly inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh. And so all these women have been reaching out to me on the internet and they want to start their own Cyber Ladies chapters, which is so exciting.
That is.
And I'm trying to get sponsorship right now mm-hmm. so that I can get, I guess, a Meetup Pro account so that I can just open all of the meetups for mm-hmm. them and so that we can all meet together on the internet once in a while too. So my meetup just does whatever we want to. So we crash boy meetups together mm-hmm. as a group. Mm-hmm. We're all going to sign up for the local B-Sides conference and then attend like as a group so that we all know that there'll be other people there and we can see their faces and we know who's there so we know to go look for them. And then we brunch once a month like badasses. And we're giving each other workshops. Mm-hmm. Microsoft has offered basically, you know, if we have a building, we'll host it. And so I'm giving a cloud security workshop and then my friend Rana is going to give like an intro to web app hacking workshop. And it's so much less intimidating to go if the room's full of women.
Yes.
And I remember like last summer, it kind of started with this last summer where I attended a Capture the Flag and I wanted to form an all-female team. And I said, you know, I'll lead it and I'll show you what to do, who's in. And I had so many women that we like didn't qualify. We would have to form like three teams. Mm. So instead they let us just like participate as a group, but like not to win.
Okay.
Which was fine. We're not concerned about women.
Right.
It was mostly like software developers mm-hmm. that came with me and just like women that know cyber but don't know hacking. And I was like, you know, let's get past this login and let's be sneaky and let's do this. And it was just super fun. And when we would get flagged, sometimes we would all squeal. And I was told we looked like the funnest table.
No doubt. But that's the whole objective of CTFs is to learn and grow. It's not, I mean, there are some that are competitive, but really it's to build our career field. So I think that's a great idea just to get a group, not concerned about winning, but how do we, you know, how do we just score points? How do we, again, learn from each other to improve each other? And then we all grow from that.
Exactly. And it turns out that it's fun to show up somewhere with a posse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and it's nice that every single person in my professional life isn't a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like being a software developer, generally, I was the only woman on the team. Mm-hmm. once in a blue moon there would be another woman, and I would immediately be like, hi.
No, but just having that support group, you know, yes, it's so important, regardless of, you know, gender or race or what have you. It's developing that support group of people who have similar perspectives and viewpoints and background as you do. And it's great that you can develop this, and it's not just within your own backyard, but you're looking to do this worldwide.
This week, we were actually talking. So this woman told me, Rana, she teaches at Ottawa U, and she said a whole bunch of female software developers came up to her, and they said, okay, so we're trying really hard to bond with our male counterparts, and like, I just can't stand all this gaming, and like, oh my god, I don't like Star Wars. Does this mean I'm going to fail at computer science? And then we all had this huge discussion about, like, you know, some women like that, and a lot of us, maybe we're not, I don't know, I don't like gaming, and it's cool if other people want to game, but that doesn't mean I'm not an awesome software developer. Mm-hmm. We had like this huge talk about like, how can we get the message across, because we feel part of the problem why women don't want to join is because the messaging is basically you have to act like a boy. You have to game. You have to not be, this is going to sound mean, but not be active. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like it's almost frowned upon to go on a run at lunch. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel like if we could get rid of these stereotypes, mm-hmm. instead make computer science be about people that want to build stuff and like, solve problems mm-hmm. all day and like help the world by creating tools for them. Like, that's what we do. And security people help protect people. That's what we do. Like, we're caring for people. Right. I think like if more women saw it that way, like we're providing like a guardian type of like, we're protecting mm-hmm. your data, we're protecting your services, we're protecting you.
Right.
Maybe it would attract more people who understood like this is the right place for them. Just, you know, Mr. Robot is like really good TV and I like it, but I'm not like that.
Right.
And you can be just like me and still mm-hmm. totally succeed.
Right. So there's not just one path to success. No, you put all that very well. In fact, I can't wait to re-listen to what you just said, because it's exactly what we need as part of the career field. We're coming close to the end of the time for our show today, Tanya. I really appreciate your perspectives. Are there any parting thoughts you want to share with our audience?
Everyone should join security because we really need your help. There are a lot of people out there who would love to help mm-hmm. you, mentor you, teach you. You just have to ask. Yeah. Not everyone will be so kind, but there's so many people out there that really want to help. And mm-hmm. if you don't ask, you won't know. You just need to put in the work and people will be happy to guide you.
And there is a huge community out there. And Tanya Janka, I'm so glad you're a part of this community. You've taken on this leadership role and really good role model for folks all over the world, male and female, to be able to emulate on what you're doing. And you're providing the tools for it. You're not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. So thank you for all that you do and for taking the time to be on the Business of Security podcast.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me. You're a part of this community, too. Making this podcast is important, too, right?
Well, thanks.
You are reaching a lot of people. Thank you so much for having me
on. Oh, my pleasure. So thank you again, listeners, for joining the Business of Security podcast. My guest this episode is Tanya Janka. You can read more about her and DevSlop on the website devslop.io, their YouTube.co. Okay, so thank you for correcting me. devslop.co. No, that's, thank you. And their YouTube channel, OWASP DevSlop. And also the She Acts Purple. Is that correct?
Yeah, She Hacks Purple blog on Medium.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, listeners, for joining me today. Please come back for more thought-provoking conversations from security leaders.
Thanks for listening to the Business of Security podcast. A special thanks to today's guest, Tanya Janka. Our host today was Ron Warner. Connect with Ron on LinkedIn and learn more about his company, RWX Security Solutions, online at rwxsecurity.com. Our next podcast episode features Adam Shostak, author and president of Shostak and Associates. You've been listening to the Business of Security podcast, and that's a wrap.